Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Breakdown. I'm Luke. And to those of you who are joining us for the first time, thank you for deciding to check us out. The Breakdown is just a message, is a ministry out of our church where we dive in deeper to the message that the Lord brings to us in our church through who he has speaking and delivering his word to the body. And for those of you who have been listening for a long time, thank you for continuing to utilize this resource. If anybody ever has any questions or comments or anything that you want to offer to The Breakdown, you can email us at info@hpc.church. You can just put The Breakdown in the subject line. Today, joining us, we have one of our illustrious HPC interns, Mr. Patrick Palazzi. Welcome to The Breakdown.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
It's good to have you.
I'm excited to be here.
So cool. Before we get into the message, I just wanted to take a few moments just to honor the life of Charlie Kirk. A lot of us have been affected by his passing. He was a voice for our generation and the generation to come, and just really spoke the truth of the Lord with boldness and passion. And I know for me personally, his death has impacted me and has emboldened me to go out and speak the truth of God without fear, with courage, wherever God has me. And whatever your opinion was of Charlie Kirk, I just encourage you to go out and listen to his words. Don't get caught up in what people are saying about him, whether it's good or bad, but listen to his words and let the Spirit of God in you guide you in receiving from the truth as he was called to share it. Mm. Patrick, I don't know if you had heard of Charlie Kirk before.
Yeah, I wasn't too familiar with him, before his passing. I'd seen a couple of videos of him when I had his social media, but when he passed, and we spoke about him quite a few times, I've done kind of my own deep dive into his life.
That's good. That's really good.
And I've been so encouraged, and I've wrestled through some questions as to who's going to carry on what he's been doing. But I believe God's so sovereign. He has voices rising up all around us that we can't see, and praise him for that, because there's going to be people that are going to affect Amen. The lives of thousands of college students. And so his legacy is one that has really been ministering to me recently of how he carried the gospel and the power of his message. Mm-hmm. So I've been sitting in a lot of encouragement, and also just like it's kind of been springing me forth, like okay, I actually want to continue.
Yeah,
I want to continue. Like what he did was worthwhile, and I didn't, when I first heard about his death, I really didn't see him as much of an evangelist. I just kind of saw him as a political leader. But as I kind of did my own research, I realized like, okay, you carried the message of Jesus.
Amen.
And people received
Amen.
It,
so. Yeah. And for me, he was someone that I followed on Instagram. Mm. I mean, I loved the way he would interact with people. And he would have these really hard conversations with people that were often very hostile to him. Mm-hmm. And he would say things in a very true and careful, but very pointed manner.
Yeah.
And he would weave in the gospel.
Yeah.
But going in and seeing so much more of his videos since over the past week, I'm seeing, oh wow, this guy was drenched in the gospel. And Instagram often would just show me the clips where he's interacting on political issues or even like social issues, but really he was motivated by his faith.
And that
is the truth. At the end of the day, Charlie Kirk was not shot because of his stance on low taxes or even on immigration.
Yeah,
he was shot because of how his faith, how our faith dictated his moral stances on issues of sexuality and these cultural issues of our time. And that's why I would encourage you, if you're listening, if you're having a hard time grasping what your role is in the social context, in the social conversation, understand that everything that you say must reflect your biblical worldview. This is why it's so important that we spend time in God's word and allow God's word to shape us and not approach God's word with the social issue and try to force God's word to fit our opinion, but really allowing God's truth and his order to shape our opinion of what we encounter in this world.
And kind of segueing into the message a little bit with, you know, we're fighting our battles and we're not just inviting the Lord to fight into ours, but we're choosing to step into the battle that he's called us to step into. I think it was a really fitting thing that Charlie was, he wasn't so worried about the voices and what they had to say to him, because I saw, you know, a lot of videos of the persecution that he faced. Mm-hmm. And I think that in itself is it's a big battle that a lot of oftentimes as believers, you know, I know you're preaching at United, you were just talking about guys, like our voice is actually a weapon, and we actually need to use and exercise that weapon to go and win souls. And oftentimes what silences us is that fear of persecution. But the question why is always the thing that goes before us. Like, why am I preaching this gospel today? Why is this message important for people? And it's because it actually has the power to save and deliver. And so I think what he saw in that message, it went before him in his persecution, where he was like, I don't care what you have to say about me. I don't care. Like, if this video goes viral and I look like, you know, a doofus, like, let me magnify my Jesus.
Amen.
And so,
amen.
That's a sermon for all of us to chew on for a little bit. That's a message for all of us to kind of, chew on for a bit.
Yeah. So thanks for saying that, Patrick. And I really would like our listeners, because you are one of our interns, and I've gotten to know you personally. And I just have to say, Patrick is a man full of the fire of God, full of the passion and the zeal of the Lord. And I do believe that you are a mouthpiece of the Lord to your generation. Mm-hmm. And you are inspiring all of us to go deeper into deeper wells of intercession and worship. And using that fuel to go out and fight the battles that the Lord has for us. But would you please just take us back into your life? And tell us just give us an overview of what your life was like before Jesus and then how Jesus set this fire ablaze in your heart.
So I grew up in a Christian household. I have 5 siblings. So we were all, you know, we were all raised to fear the Lord. But kind of going back to that big why question, I always wondered why. So there was always a reverence. I will say this. There's always a reverence towards the name of Jesus. I knew that there was always something on the name of Jesus. And I praise him for that, because I grew up in public school. And so everybody was slandering his name. Everybody was blaspheming and using, you know, the context of scripture just very illy. Is that illy? Is that a word?
Badly, poorly. Yeah, I caught the message.
Illy. I'd say it really, his grace, it's really shown no limits in my life, because there's been a lot of rock bottom moments in my life that I would call for my life, just a really low place. And my testimony that I'll never get sick of sharing with people is he met me there. Like the Prince of Peace, he met me there. And and that really became true to me. My faith became like there was a night and I said, Jesus is Lord. On that night, I was 16 years old and I was just super, I had depression and I went through the ringer with a lot of overthinking and just contemplating of different things. And I just remember putting my head on my pillow and I started to worship, and I didn't really have a heart of worship at that point. At least I didn't know I did. And I started to listen to this worship song, and immediately I just received a vision, and Jesus was sitting on the throne, and it was gold everything. I just remember I remember seeing him and saying, okay, so you're real. I remember smiling that night, and it was like a smile like that almost would, like, you know, hurt your cheek, because I was like, how could this be real? Like, I've heard about this my whole life, but like, where has this been? And since that moment, undeniably, I've known that Jesus is Lord. Mm-hmm. And so but knowing Jesus is Lord and making him Lord of your life are two different things. Mm-hmm. And so as I continued in my life, I think the concept of surrender became really hard for me because I found myself in control. I was like, I'm in control of my situation, and newsflash, I wasn't. So that's awesome. But yeah, I think as time unraveled, I realized, okay, I want more of you. And it's costly, but it means everything. Mm-hmm. Like it is everything. And so as I've continued walking with Jesus, I've really just recognized, like, I've learned more of his character and who he is and how he loves me and how he loves others. Mm. And that kind of the heartbeat of his has kind of made me want to align with his and go forth and kind of like show others his heartbeat. And
Could you take us deeper into what that process of surrender was like for you? Because obviously you're sharing this really pivotal moment in your life.
Yeah.
Where Jesus really came in and you knew I'm following him.
Yeah.
But then there is this process that you've alluded to of surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And surrendering our battles.
Yeah.
But and surrendering itself can be a battle. Could you please just highlight one or two experiences of what that was like for you, for our listeners?
Yeah. Yeah. Surrender is a battle. I recognized, I think the scripture that you can't serve two masters, it drilled into me. I just remember in that time, I was just like, it was always two masters. And I was just like, but who's the higher of the two masters? And that wasn't even a question I was willing to answer because I already knew the answer. And so it was more just a process of, okay, how do I get free from the things that I put myself in bondage to? And so that process became honestly, like, I feel like as believers, sometimes we will over spiritualize something, like God's just gonna let it fall off us. And he does do that. He'll free us in a way that is just so instant, and it's just a measure of his power that he will just release onto us. But I think with me, you know, he really goes after you based on who he's made you to be. And so he it varies person to person. Like, he's not going to go after you like he's going to go after me, and vice versa.
It really is like an individual love story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so that really spoke into the love that he has for me even more, because the way that he went and pursued me was actually that he was strategically like tell me, like, hey, that's not good. Release that. Stop going there. Stop doing that. Like, stop like putting yourself in this position. And a lot of that actually came from doing it so many times that I was just like, if I do this, I'm going to go crazy. So, so those situations really spoke in depth, and that speaks into his grace. And that's just mm-hmm. a whole nother topic. His grace is just, it knows no end. But, as I recognized that, that those things that I was doing, that they weren't helping me to prosper mm-hmm. and thrive in knowing him, I recognized, okay, so I have a choice, and he's going to love me no matter what choice I make, but I want to honor him with my choice by saying yes to him and no to the thing that my flesh wants. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, crucifying my flesh daily has become, it's become a daily task. Wake up and die to your flesh that wants to have you. And so that's kind of a broad example mm-hmm. of the places that I've received freedom. But I'd say just, he's a specific God. He's not just a generic, like, you know, I don't know. I feel like he's a very specific God in the way that he speaks to us and what he wants to go after specifically.
Yeah.
I think it's just having the ears to hear it and just like the mind to just say, like, I recognize that and I'm mm-hmm. not going to ignore that.
Well, I think this plays into what we're talking about today, which is fighting the battles that the Lord has for us. And And key to that is hearing his voice.
Yeah.
How did you grow in hearing the voice of the Lord?
The Bible. It really is that simple. Like, you want to know his heart and his character, then open his word and read what he says, because it's all true and it all lines up and it does speak even today, a better word over everybody's mm-hmm. life. So,
and a few years ago, you went off to Circuit Riders. Could you tell us a little more about that? Maybe there are listeners who don't know what Circuit Riders is.
Yeah. Circuit Riders is a missions organization based out in Huntington Beach, California. Their mission statement is to find the lost and see souls won, on college campuses and high schools. And so that's primarily what we go after. Their ministry is also music. So, releasing music, they have a heart of worship. So, that's a lot of what they do, but they're pretty radical in the way that they send. And they have a big heart for sending people, for equipping and sending. And so that was a season of my life that I devoted to sitting at the Lord's feet, and knowing him greater so that I could go and make him known.
And what was the greatest revelation that the Lord gave you through that season?
It had to be my identity of sonship. I'm literally his son. I remember on the last night of, we were on tour, and the last night, I received this vision, and I don't get visions a whole lot. I'm speaking about them, but like, this is probably like,
well,
the second.
These are very important moments in your life.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But I was just sitting on the ground during worship, and I just remember seeing this picture of, me in my front yard, just on a really sunny day. And I was playing catch with Jesus, like with a baseball. And I was like, that's so random. But I just remember feeling this amount of love that I was just like, this is so simple. But you had, like, I knew in the picture that he had no intentions of going anywhere. He was just like, he was there for like the whole day. He was just like, this is what I'm doing today. Like, I'm gonna spend time with Patrick because I love him. And I was just like, what a love. Like, what a love that, you know, it's just like this small concept and just like playing catch, but it's so much bigger than that. He's so willing to dwell in our presence. It's just us. Are we willing to dwell in his?
Amen. Amen. So now, coming out of that and understanding your identity as a son of God, receiving the fire of the Lord, how would you say that the Lord has shaped your perspective on his heart to reach the world, to reach the lost? How would you say that your heart towards people has changed, stayed the same, or even been emboldened by your journey with the Lord?
I think offense is a big thing, because I think as in this day and age, we are just running towards offense. We're waiting to be poked with offense so that we can just, you know, stand in that place of, you know, so that we can get defensive over that offense. And so I think my heart has changed a lot to a self-centered mindset, to recognizing that the gospel is not, it's not a self-centered message. Jesus poured himself out freely, and he did it. He poured it all of himself out. And so it made me recognize that truly, like, my life isn't my own. And that's a very contradictory statement to, you know, what culture has to say about yourself now, because everybody cares about themselves, and it's important to care about yourself. But I think going beyond yourself to tell this love story that isn't just a story, but actually has the power to pierce somebody's heart, to actually reach somebody's heart and transform their lives like it has to me, is beyond having a good coffee, mm-hmm. or beyond, you know, going and having, you know, a fun evening out somewhere. Like, there is an urgency on the call as believers that we have to preach the gospel. And we're all, and I feel like a lot of us are walking in complacency to it, because half the time we doubt that we even carry the power of it.
Yeah.
And I think that in itself is a battle to conquer. And I think the way that, like I was talking before, practically, that God is a practical God. He likes to see actual steps of actions taken. The action to getting out of your comfort zone and making the gospel known to somebody is actually opening your mouth and speaking it. Amen, and maybe even amen. Failing, maybe yep. even like giving it to somebody and you're like, I could have said that better. But like, you recognize through your failure, he's so gracious.
Yeah.
That he's just like, he's so much more of like, go for it than yep. he is like, maybe just perfect it in your quiet time and then, you know, and go and give it.
Yeah.
Like, I can only imagine how the disciples preached the gospel. Like, they probably, like, the first couple times, they were probably like, it was probably rough, you know? So, yeah, that's an encouragement to all the listeners to open your mouth. You have no idea what's going to come out of it and what it will do for somebody's life. You just have no idea what your obedience does.
Yeah, it's funny. You're talking about how the disciples probably didn't preach all that well at first. And, Paul talks to the Corinthian church about our foolish preaching.
Mm.
And Paul was the most learned man of his day.
Mm.
He was like the Harvard grad of Judaism. He knew everything.
Yeah.
And yet he refers to his own preaching as our foolish preaching.
That's
so
funny.
On Friday night, I had preached out of Acts 4 to the kids, and you were there. And, yeah. You can go to our listeners, you can go and read it. I encourage you to read it. But the religious leaders, it says that they could see that, that Peter and John were ordinary men.
Mm.
And if you look at the Greek word for that, I was listening to another message about it this week, and it's where we get our English word idiot. So they could see that they were idiots.
That is so funny.
And I draw so much comfort from that, because it's like, okay, I can be an idiot.
So much relief.
I can do that.
Yes.
Can you be an idiot?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you go out there and be an idiot and say the name of Jesus and proclaim Jesus?
Mm.
For me, that just boils everything down, because Satan really wants you to focus on yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that defeats the power of the gospel, because the gospel is outward facing.
Yeah. And I think that goes in alignment with, you know, prayer too. Like, God isn't looking for elegant prayer. He's looking for raw, hearty prayer that comes from the deepest places of us. And I think that out of our prayer life, that genuineness of talking with him is really going to align with the genuineness of speaking to somebody about him.
Mm-hmm. So along these lines, I was reflecting on the message that Pastor Zach brought to us on Sunday. And I was asking myself the question, so what is it like for me, Luke Rock, when I go fight battles that the Lord has not called me to fight? And what does it look like for me to relinquish those battles and in order to have the heart posture to receive what the Lord has for me to walk in?
Mm.
And what the Lord brought to my mind was Philippians 2. Verses 3, starting in verse 3, and Paul says, "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Mm. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this same attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross."
Wow.
And the Lord showed me that when I go, what triggers me, Pastor Zach was talking about us discovering our triggers.
Yeah.
What triggers me into fighting battles that I am not called to is when I'm motivated by my selfish ambition and my conceit and building up me, Luke Rock, in the eyes of people.
Mm.
And that gets me into a whole host of trouble.
Yeah.
And the feeling that I'm left with every single time that I willingly go down that path is I literally feel in my spirit like I have a spiritual sour stomach, and you're just sick, and you know this is what you get for not relinquishing control to Jesus and not humbling yourself.
Yeah.
And not stepping out in obedience onto the path to fight the battle that Jesus has for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And also I love how he said that, like, every battle that you were never called to that you step into, you're gonna lose. Like, he's the example of David, you know, lusting over Bathsheba. And he was never called to that battle. Like, he was supposed to be on, like, the actual physical battlefield. And so I think, yeah, recognizing, like, stepping into those places. But also, even when you do, we fall short of his glory, like we do. And so I think coming back to the heart of humility is where we can really reach, we can really reach him, like a heart of repentance and humility.
Mm. You know, it's interesting that you brought up David, because I was also thinking about when David goes out to fight Goliath.
Mm.
Because when we fight the battles that the Lord has for us,
yeah,
it is going to require a fight, and it requires courage. It requires boldness.
Yep.
But when David goes out to fight Goliath, he is so driven by the Spirit of the Lord. He knows that God has delivered Goliath and the Philistines into the hands of Israel.
Mm.
And in 1 Samuel 17, starting in verse 48, David says, he's saying this to Goliath. "This day, the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." I mean, listen to that boldness. Listen to that. It's so visceral.
There was no question in that statement. He made it well known what was going to happen and executed it. Like, wow. If we all walked in the confidence of that, what would we see? That would be different.
Amen. And I feel like that's the boldness that comes from knowing what the Lord has called you to.
Yeah.
You can speak boldly. You're not hesitant. You are calm. And it has, to me, that's what it looks like to walk in that peace that surpasses understanding. Mm-hmm. It's, I can go after the giant knowing that the Lord has called me to this fight.
Yeah. Yeah. So good.
And I've really felt this on you a lot. I feel that you are like a David to our generation. Mm. You are a David to the youth that are coming. And so I just want to just speak that, I just feel to speak that over you right now, that you have that same fire within you. And I just pray that the Lord blesses your heart, that the Lord continues to place people around you that will protect you, that you can turn to as advisors in discerning the battles that the Lord has for you to fight, so that you will fight well, that you will inspire many young people to also rise up and take their place in their generation.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a joy and an honor to come alongside a younger generation, especially when you have a story, when, you know, you've gone through their age, and like we all do. And the Lord uses, you know, certain stories for certain purposes.
Amen.
But I'm so grateful that any of us could be used as instruments for something greater than us. Something greater than anything we can see. Like, we only know a portion of what we're chasing and what it's going to lead to in the long run. So it's really, really exciting stuff.
It really is.
I'm here for the long haul.
It really is. So discern the voice of the Lord and speak boldly.
Mm-hmm.
So in closing, what's a final challenge that you would give to us? Pastor Zach talked about how Josiah should have redirected his efforts to maintaining the order in his kingdom that the Lord had guided him in establishing and passing that on to the next generation. What's a challenge that you have from the Lord to us so that we can do the same?
I would say everybody's looking to do the things that are going to be seen. And everybody wants to be seen. everybody wants to, you know.
Not everybody. But there is that part of some of us that enjoys that. Yeah.
Yes. But I think we want to go slay Goliath before we sit at the Lord's feet, or go grab some stones from a stream, you know. And I think that the real battle begins at the Lord's feet. It begins at the master who's going to give you the directions feet. Because if you're just going to go and you're just going to just blindly run into this place, you lose. You completely lose. And so I think inquiring of the Lord, like you see so many times, David, like, Lord, should I go and pursue this battle? And he says, yes. Like, I love that heart posture, because he completely waited on the Lord. He completely waited for confirmation. And then he attacked, and he knew what was going to happen, because his confidence came from the one who told him that he was going to have the deliverance of that. Mm-hmm. So, my advice would just be, before you go out and do all these, you know, awesome or crazy things, like, by all means do it, but inquire of the Lord first. That's where it starts.
Amen. And I agree. I believe that is the number one tool and life, really, that we can call people to. And it is following after the Lord. Like, Jesus gives this perspective, this of him as the good shepherd. Mm. I am the good shepherd.
Yeah.
And I know my sheep, and my sheep know me.
Mm.
And so being a sheep ourselves, knowing I am an idiot preacher, I'm an idiot sheep that has to follow after the master. Mm. Will you come join me in this?
Yeah.
And to me, that's what we're calling people into.
Yeah. Good.
All right. So would you just close us out in prayer, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Lord, we're grateful, Lord, for everything that you've showed us, God, for the battles that have grown us, Lord, for the victories that have come solely from your hand, God. We just believe that there's more that you want us to conquer, God. There's ground you want us to take, Lord. But would it all start at the center of you, God? Would it start by coming before you and believing in our hearts that you actually have something to say to us strategically about how you want us to go about it, Lord? Because you're a very specific God, but you're trustworthy and you love us, God, and you want to see us. You want to see us win, God. So we thank you that that's your heart over us, that's your banner over us. God is love. And thank you for the battles that you have fought for us, God. You have gone before us, and you have won our hearts, Lord, because of the battles that you have fought over us. So we love you, Jesus, and we magnify your name. In your name, amen.
Amen. Well, Patrick, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah.
We look forward to having you on again soon.
Yeah, likewise.
All right. Likewise. And to all of you listening, thank you for partaking of the truth of the Lord and what he's doing in our house. Go out and fight the battles that the Lord has for you, and mm-hmm. we will see you here on Sunday. Can't count on